Welcome to Pardon My French,
the podcast that teaches you French in a fun and casual way.
My name is Tom.
And my name is James. Mwah, ah, ah, ah,
ah. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to Pardon My French. This week we're going to be talking about the supernatural
and the supernatural
and the paranormal.
Yeah, which are kind of one and the same, aren't they?
I think so. I'm not really sure.
I'm not really sure either. Yeah, so supernatural is a topic which, you know, scares a lot of people. It deceives the senses.
Ooh.
It freaks out the masses.
And not everyone.
Well, no. Some people have a heart of steel. Nerves of steel.
Like
Bear Grylls.
Hearts of coal.
I don't think Bear Grylls sees ghosts. Ghouls.
Do you know, I downloaded a Bear Grylls game on my iPad the other day.
Oh, yeah?
You know Temple Run?
Yeah.
It's just Temple Run with Bear Grylls. It's just Temple Run with a man in a backpack.
What's it called?
Bear Grylls or something. I can't remember.
Wow.
I deleted it within 20 minutes of downloading it.
Right.
So there's a great review. So an app not to get.
Yeah. And nicely on the theme of the supernatural. So yeah, we're going to be doing about the supernatural, or in French, the surnaturel.
Surnaturel.
Yeah. So, should we have a quick introduction of supernatural, what the concept is?
Yeah, can I just say one thing as well?
Yeah.
I know my pronunciation of French words is normally not that good, and it's not going to be any better this week because I'm full of cold. So, Full of
cold.
I'm fine.
I'm in the prime of life.
We both did the same Friends quote badly.
Yeah.
In the wrong order. Go on, supernatural.
So I was looking this up on online because I thought, what is supernatural? What does that encapsulate? And it's actually originally supernatural concepts were used like religiously,
mm-hmm.
or in a religious context. So, like what we think of nowadays, which is maybe more like the paranormal,
Wait.
And the occult.
Occult,
which is
yeah.
not which is not a kind of yogurty snack.
Mm.
It's actually strange things happening. It was originally referring to things like demons and angels and miracles and things like that.
Okay.
Yeah, and because supernatural, of course, just the super. Means kind of above,
like Uber.
Or over, yeah, like Uber. And in the French surnaturel, the S-U-R at the start of naturel just means on.
Yeah.
So it's like if you say something on the table, it's sur la table.
Sur la table.
Yeah. So that's a little bit a little intro. In fact, the word divine, which you could relate to religious
like,
things, miracles, things like that,
yeah.
Actually comes from the Latin divinus. Which just means a god.
Oh,
which is
okay.
quite interesting, yeah.
Is that where the word diva comes from, you think? For a female?
Very possibly, yeah. Very
like
possibly.
Someone who's godlike with godlike kind
yeah.
of
Madonna. She was a religious yeah. figure of
the
some
Madonna,
sort, wasn't she?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. And yeah, another little point on that is from this word meaning a god,
mm-hmm.
we get the French word to guess, which is deviner.
Deviner.
Deviner, yeah, because originally, the word guess would be to make something out by supernatural insight, as
okay.
in by, you know, asking God and he would
uh-huh.
give you some insight. So, yeah, that's it's quite interesting how the word for guess comes from God.
Mm.
So maybe that poses the question. You could guess whether God exists.
Well, you can't prove it or disprove it, so I guess it's always going to be some guesswork.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah. So God in French is, do you know what it is?
Dieu.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, Dieu, yeah. And if you want to say goodbye to someone,
mm-hmm.
then do you know a poetic way of saying that? Shakespeare used it quite a lot.
Yeah, I know. It's in my brain, but it's not coming
it's
out.
It's adieu.
Adieu, yeah.
Adieu, which just means to God.
To God.
Yeah, so it's a bit like the French way of saying Godspeed.
Godspeed.
Godspeed,
Great
America.
Great snakes. Godspeed.
Great snakes, yeah. That's a quote from Tintin's Amazing Adventure.
Or Tintin.
Tintin.
Yeah, watch that film. That's amazing.
You know the original Tintin comics, the
Tintin.
They
this is a French podcast.
Yeah, so they were written by I think it was a Belgian guy,
yeah.
wasn't it? And the dog originally, you know, he's called Snowy,
yeah.
isn't he?
Yep.
He's originally called Milou,
which means
Milou. Just I don't know. Which means Milou.
Oh,
it's just
okay.
like a sound. It's quite a cute sounding word.
Like mildew.
Yeah, I guess
he's
so,
just
yeah.
called Mildew. I thought
Mildew, yeah.
Snow's probably nicer.
Oh, it might be Mildew, actually. Yeah, you might be right.
Probably not, though.
Don't know.
Who
just
knows?
Just sounds quite nice. Do you know how words in English could sound like... You could be a word that you don't know what it means, but it just sounds fluffy, or
yeah.
some words sound spiky.
Yeah.
I think Stephen Fry has mentioned it before in one of his episodes of QI. But yeah, so certain words just have a kind of feel about them, don't they? Like I always think the word for cauliflower in French is the word chou-fleur.
Chou-fleur?
Chou-fleur. And it just sounds fluffy and sounds like, you know, undelicious.
There's you know, the film Donnie Darko?
Yeah.
They talk about cellar door being the most beautiful arrangement of words.
Really?
Yeah, but it's to do with the plot of the movie, but but cellar door, when you say it, when you think of it as two separate things, a cellar and a door, cellar door, but together it kind of has a French sound to it.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Cellar door.
Yeah.
Sounds a bit like love, doesn't it? Adore.
Yeah. C'est, like, it's.
Uh-huh. It's the love, maybe? No, well, no, actually. Because love on its own would be amour, not adore. Yeah.
Okay.
So Tom, what kind of things do you think we'll be talking about today in the supernatural episode?
Okay, I'm going to...
Paranormal.
I reckon ghosts, ghouls.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe aliens? I don't know, I guess that's supernatural. Or...
Maybe we'll talk about aliens.
Maybe we won't. Werewolves?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Vamps?
Vamps. We'll probably hit on vamps as well. Bit of Twilight action.
No, thank you.
For the teenage listeners.
For the masses who love it.
Yeah. I don't know. Will we solve the question?
Team Jacob
or team other one?
I think our podcast.
Is it Joseph?
Jacob and... Which one's Jacob?
I don't know. Edward.
Okay.
Edward Cullen.
Because I know our podcast is so influential worldwide.
Yeah.
I think whatever we say is like the definitive answer. So whatever we
definitive.
Choose.
Definitive. Very good.
Whatever we choose now.
Godly.
Is correct. So what do you want? Team Jacob to be the winner?
I don't think we should take sides because I think we might sway the masses too much.
I feel like we should abuse this power.
I feel like our decision now may affect the sales of Twilight merchandise. And there may be shops outselling, you know, say... One of them. I'm not going to say a name, so I don't want to sway you guys.
But we could save HMV.
That is true. We could bring them back. Maybe we should do it. We have a service to the British economy.
I prefer
the economy of the world. In fact,
I prefer werewolves.
Yeah.
So we're going Team Jacob.
Oh, do you know what though? I don't know because I quite like their shiny hair.
Yeah, but I think that's dumb.
I kind of wish I had shiny hair, but I don't want to be a vampire. So,
if you had to be a vampire or a werewolf, which would you be?
A vampire, probably. Yeah, I think, actually.
Because like the werewolf,
not
you seem
being able to
like,
control
have,
yeah. When your like clothes rip off and you turn into a wolf. I don't think that's that.
You'd go through so many.
It's not a great.
No, but it's
only
when there's a full moon, though.
But what if you invite a werewolf and a vampire around for dinner? Admittedly, you'd have to like do blood soup for starters for the vampire.
Well, you could do like a fry up.
Yeah, I guess yeah. Because vampires probably nosh down on a bit of bacon every now and then, don't they?
Probably.
But
like you know, you have to invite the. Vampire into your house, the werewolf could just come in.
Could he?
But a vampire can't
uninvited.
Yeah, but you couldn't let a vampire wouldn't be able to enter your home without being first. But once you've invited it once, I think it could then come back.
Yeah,
and then murder you in your sleep.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, just true. On the topic of uninvited guests, a lovely word, which is one of my favourite words in French, is this word inopinément.
I'm not going to repeat that.
Okay, inopinément. It kind of means a bit like out of the blue.
Okay, yeah.
So if someone just turns up at your doorstep, just completely out of the blue, like a werewolf at a dinner party, then it's, you can say they turn up inopinément.
Like inopportune.
Yeah, a bit like inopportune, an inopportune time. So that's one of my favourites. I try and stick it into conversation whenever I can. I try and stick it in, inopinément.
I think it's quite rude that you bring that up when my parents are visiting. And they're in and out of this room trying to sneak past with coffee. It's just rude of you, to be honest.
Yeah, they brought us biscuits, so I can't, and tea.
Yorkshire.
Yeah, yeah. I think anyone who is a fan of tea.
Here come the biscuits.
Anyone. Thanks,
you.
Pa. There we go. Pass them around.
So yeah.
Anyone who's a fan of national delicacies will know that when you
go on.
That when you go abroad. There we go.
Yes.
Then getting like an import of some of your favourite snacks and bits and bobs is just lifesaver, isn't it?
Well, when I left the mountain though the other week, there was a big market stall down by the lake, and there was one trailer. I don't know if I told you that was just selling English food.
Oh, really?
But all Swiss ideas of what the English eat is really kind of messed
warped,
up.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
What kind of stuff did they sell?
Just like. so much candy. I mean, sweets.
And did they sell any pans and trash cans?
Yeah, and like every kind of HP sauce you could think of. Like,
we only have the brown one. We literally call it brown sauce because we only have one kind of sauce.
Well, there's a Guinness one, there's a Jack Daniels one, there's like a...
And the reggae one as well.
Yeah. Do you remember the fruity one?
Yeah.
I like that one. But I haven't seen it for a while. So back to the paranormal,
So let's say, maybe if you're inviting vampires and werewolves around to your house, then there's a chance that maybe you live in a haunted house, okay? Because...
No.
No?
Well, maybe.
I don't know. Well, come on, we're living in some kind of supernatural fictional... dinner party, so let's just assume that we have ghosts as well at the party. So
we live in a haunted house.
Huh?
We live in a haunted house.
Don't eat biscuits while we're recording. Okay, so while you're chomping down on those British imports,
these are bought here in Switzerland.
Alright, okay. So if you want to say about a haunted house, to say that you've got ghosts and ghouls in your bedroom. Whatever, then you can say so it's une maison hantée.
Une maison hantée.
Hantée, yeah.
So like a silent H of haunt?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's spelled H-A-N-T and then E with an accent and another E.
Okay.
So hantée, une maison hantée.
A haunted house?
Yeah, exactly, it's a haunted house. And in a haunted house, you'd probably find ghosts.
Always.
Which you can say in several different ways, just like you can say ghost, or you can say phantom, or
ghoul.
Spirit, or ghoul, or something. You can say, in French, you can say fantôme, fantôme, or you can say spectre, spectre. Yeah, a bit like in English, you can say a spectre, to mean a ghost.
Yeah.
But make sure you don't walk inside the ghost, because then you'll be an inspector.
Wow. Not in French, though.
No, of course not, no.
Be a what? Don?
Like Poirot. He's an inspector, isn't he? Inspecting mysteries and things. But yeah, you have to be careful because this word spirit, of course, means a lot of different things in both English. Well, in English. And of course, then when you translate it into French, it can mean different things. So I've got four different ways of translating it here.
What? From English? Four different words for spirit?
Yeah.
So
spirit can mean your mood. You can say he's in good spirits.
Yeah.
So then the word is humeur.
Humeur?
Like humour. Yep. Like he's in good humour. And in French, so you could say, il est de bonne humeur.
Il est de bonne humeur.
That means he is of good humour.
Yeah.
He's in a good mood. Another way of spirit can mean like someone's soul. You can say he has a good spirit, like down, you know. And that is âme.
Âme.
It's A with like a little Chinese hat.
Yeah.
Symbol. A with a Chinese hat. M-E. So it's just three letters. Âme.
Okay.
Yeah. So that means your soul. If you want to talk about someone's enthusiasm, so you could say not quite their mood, but more like, you know, like in the spirit of things, maybe in a personality characteristic, you can say l'esprit. That's with an L apostrophe and esprit. So it's a bit like
spirit.
It's actually a bit like the word sprite. If you take the E and put it on the front,
it's the closest one to spirit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it looks a bit like spirit, esprit or l'esprit. And then the other way of saying spirit is, of course, alcoholics.
Episode one.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And two, and three.
Talking about getting smashed. And, you know, once you've been drinking, you may even see ghosts and ghouls around. And to say that, you would say boisson alcoolisée.
Boisson alcoolisée?
Yeah, alcoolisée, yeah.
Boisson.
Yeah. Or you can sometimes say spiritueux. Spiritueux.
Well, sure. Means,
yeah, it means like spirited drinks, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, which is kind of interesting. Yeah, so we got that all in our house. We're serving spirits in good spirit to spirits and werewolves and vampires. But there's a knock on the door.
Yeah,
and you never guess who it is.
Hitler.
It's only a bloody demon.
Demon.
Well, it's similar. Nice reference there, mate.
Wow.
It's not Hitler, I'm afraid. No, it's a demon. And if you want to say that in French, it's just démon.
Démon?
Démon. Pretty easy. Démon. It's just same spelling, but with an accent on the E.
Yep.
Again, démon.
Can I just say something about where... Oh, we live together, basically. And we have a we have a kitchen that we obviously share.
Yeah.
And like I said, my parents are visiting. The first thing my mother said about the room is that... It's weird though, isn't it? You just hear voices in there constantly, but there's voices from everywhere.
Like,
and we've been living here
several months and never heard anything, and now she comes into this place
yeah.
and assumes that there's voices everywhere.
Yeah, I'm a bit creeped out. It's a bit like when Bruce Willis's little kid, you know, starts hearing it.
But the building we live in is blatantly haunted, if you were to believe in not like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've talked about this before, haven't we? My opinion of ghosts and things is that it's induced by your surroundings. So it's a mental illusion that you create yourself based on your preconceived ideas of spirits and ghouls and whatever, which is constantly reinforced by horror films and so on and so forth.
Yeah, we did go looking for ghosts, though, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. And on Halloween, you downloaded that app.
Yeah.
It was for you listeners out there, guys. It was an app which it was like a ghost finder.
You know, like
and it
in
kind of arbitrarily as you moved around, it arbitrarily like kind of illuminated and made a sound as if there was a ghost nearby. It was the most freaky thing I've ever done.
Yeah, and it was in the dark, and we were just like walking down this corridor, and it's not pleasant here sometimes.
No, it was. It was so, so spooky.
Even though neither of us believe in ghosts, it was still scary.
No, yeah. Do you have any ghost stories?
I have a story about a horror movie.
Okay, go on then, briefly.
So I moved house while I was at uni. So my second year, I moved into a house with people I didn't know because I'd actually moved universities as well.
Oh, yeah.
So it was the first night, and there was two guys, two girls.
Oh, creepy.
I know. That kind of a thing, but we've put on a horror movie.
In the basket.
I can't remember what the movie was, but we had two sofas. So it was me and my friend Lucy sitting on one, and she brought her duvet down, and we were both sitting under the duvet, and they'd all lived here the year before, so I was moving into a new house then. So they were quite helpful.
Sorry, is this going somewhere?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So the horror movie's on. I hate horror movies. I barely watch them because I get scared too easy. And then the other guys came and sat down. And I just left the door, and I was watching it, and I didn't know, but the door goes really slowly, then just goes and closes, or it can suddenly, if you get a gust of wind, it goes and just pops open, and I was sitting right next to the door, and so the first night I met all these people, I was in the room trying to be like cool and like, yeah, I love uni, I'm here to do art and stuff, and then the door makes a little noise, I jump out of my skin into the lap of the girl sitting next to me, like a little girl, I was like, ah! I was like, yep. I don't think I lived that down. I haven't lived it down until now.
Wow.
When I see her, she still brings
up. You must have had to throw like a Project X style party to get your street cred back.
Seven people came. It was really bad.
How many of them were vampires and werewolves?
All.
Okay. How many of them were Jacob and Joseph?
None of them.
Is he called?
His name's Edward. Jacob and Joseph.
I'm thinking of Lost. Right. I think the characters were called, they all had like biblical names. So anyway.
That was my story. Do you have one? Or not? Or do you want to tell it later?
I'll tell some spooky stuff later. Yeah.
Oh, we got spooky stuff.
Maybe.
Okay.
So we look outside in our fictional dinner party, and this demon's pulled up in a car, so he's probably driven quickly. So
he's a speed demon.
He's a speed demon. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, if I ruined your thing there.
No. So I mean, in this podcast, we like to kind of channel flow through words quite in a chain, so to speak. So the word speed demon, if you want to talk about someone like that, is fou du volant.
Fou du volant.
Fou du volant. Now, this word volant means like steering wheel.
Okay.
And fou just means a crazy person.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're basically saying like a crazy person of the steering wheel.
Crazy of the wheel.
Yeah, like a mad driver, basically.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Now, we've got a little offshoot here because there's a little grammar point which I've been... you know, brimming to talk about.
You've
for
been
ages.
Excited about it because this is obviously late. This podcast coming out if you are an avid listener because of basically my illness and the illness.
Your illness.
The illness that I've acquired.
Mental illness.
I haven't been able to. I've been working all the time, and so have you.
Well, we were going to record it ironically on Valentine's Day, but
that didn't work out because we had a date.
Well, we didn't. Did
no, we didn't.
So this speed demon, right? You can also talk about someone who's on the road driving crazily.
Mm-hmm.
There's this word chauffard.
Like a chauffeur.
Yeah, a bit like a chauffeur is like a posh way of saying a driver.
Yeah.
You can also say a conducteur.
Conducteur.
Yeah, just like a train driver is a conducteur. So you can say chauffard. Now, interestingly, at the end of this word, we have the letters ARD. Okay.
Yeah.
And so this little offshoot that we're going to just quickly talk about is that a lot of words in French end in this ARD, mm-hmm. and there's quite a big group of them, which, when you see this ARD at the end, it implies something quite derogatory,
mm-hmm.
Or in French, péjoratif.
Péjoratif?
Péjoratif means derogatory.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to go through a couple of them now. There's this one, okay, so another word for a homeless person, mm-hmm. is a clochard.
Clochard?
Clochard. Okay.
You don't really pronounce
the D that much. Clochard. Yeah. Clochard. And that's a way of saying a homeless person. But it's, again, that's a very familiar and a bit slightly derogatory way.
Okay.
A great one that I've found is flemmard.
Flemmard.
Which means a lazy bones.
Lazy bones, nice.
Yeah, or someone who stays at home. If you say j'ai la flemme,
mm-hmm.
It's a bit like I have flemme.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But it actually, in French, it means I can't be asked.
Okay.
J'ai la flemme. So if I say to you, like, oh, can you go to the village and get me some, you know, pick up some aubergines?
And I'd say, j'ai la flemme.
Yeah, because I've run out of aubergines. You'll say, oh, j'ai la flemme.
J'ai la flemme.
It means, I can't be asked, mate. And then at that point, I'd call you a connard.
Connard.
Which means a bit like an arsehole.
Okay.
Okay, and you've got to be careful using this word, connard, because in context, it can be used strongly or lightly, depending mm-hmm. on who you're talking to and how you deliver it. So yeah, and then when you get home, I'll still be there in my slippers.
For sure.
Okay, and we've mentioned the word for slippers before, haven't we? It's pantoufle.
Pantoufle.
Or you can also say chausson.
Chausson. Okay.
Okay. And so this word pantoufle can mean slippers. So we add the ARD on the end, it becomes pantouflard. And uh-huh. that means, it's basically a way of saying someone who doesn't get out much.
Okay.
You're basically saying they're a slipper wearer.
Constantly.
Constantly, yeah. Yeah, and so it's kind of derogatory, but quite a funny way of saying
it. It's a nice derogatory word.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Also, does our friend Laura, surname, end in A-R-D?
It does. I think, no, it's A-U-D.
Oh.
Renaud.
It's a shame.
Isn't it Renaud?
I don't know.
It's Renaud. Yeah,
oh,
A-U-D. Yeah, it's a shame.
I'd like more things to...
Maybe we should change it to A-R-D.
Hate on her. I'm going to change it on all her paperwork for the summer.
Well, if you're being malicious about someone,
yeah.
or if someone was being malicious or kind of bitchy,
mm-hmm.
you could say they were a vachard.
A vachard?
Vachard, yeah. Which vache means cow.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're basically calling them a bit like
a
bit of a cow.
You're a cow.
A bit cowy.
You're a cow.
You care. I was just telling you before, actually, wasn't I? On a bit of a side shoot. But the word for udders.
Yes.
Do you remember it?
It was something to do along the word lines of mammary. It was like I can't remember.
Just say what a cow is. What category of animal is a cow in English?
Oh, a mammal. Like, no.
Just say it in English.
Mammal.
Yeah.
It ain't mammal, is it?
If it's a mammal. No, okay. So in French it's mamelle.
Mamelle.
Mamelle. That's the word for udder. Okay.
Mamelle.
Yeah, so mamelle. Because after all... Any mammal does have, like, a characteristic of all mammals is that they kind of have some kind of uddery, you know.
There's some special three animals, isn't there?
No.
What's the name of them animals that aren't mammals, that are mammals?
3D animals.
What? No, there's animals like the platypus.
You could say aminals then.
Aminals. My nose is a fun. We know, like, the platypus is, there's one, don't worry about it. I'll tell you another time.
They're a blend of... isn't the platypus a marsupial? No, it's not. No.
I don't know. There's a few that... if Turtle was here, you know. Turtle, write in, let us know, mate.
Yeah. And if you want to write in, guys, at any point, you know the email address. It's pardonmyfrenchpodcast@gmail.com.
Or get us on Facebook, facebook.com/pardonmyfrenchpodcast.
Yep, there you go. So, okay, so let's move on slightly. So... So yeah, so have you ever any alien encounters? We've got some.
Have I ever had an alien encounter?
Yeah, have you ever been, like, you know,
probed,
or
not that I know of,
taken away in a.
But I always think, like, when you see it, like, on TV, that they or movies, that they're taking people away for experiments, and so if you wanted to experiment on people and them not know what's going on, that they're coming down here experiment on us, you wouldn't know.
So they'd maybe they do.
They give you the shockwave. They give you, like, the Men in Black.
You wouldn't know
anything. My brother. He is well into his, like, theories of,
oh yeah,
like, conspiracies and stuff like that. He gets well into and angry when you talk to him about it.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they make convincing documentaries, don't they?
Oh, like
No,
but then,
no.
But then so does David Attenborough.
Yeah, but like, he's based in the real world.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Whereas Max has told me about the pyramids being like made by aliens. I'm sure he told me that once.
Yeah, I'm not sure that happened. But if you want to talk about that, and if you want to express your opinion on it, then it's good to know some of the vocab. So,
for sure.
If you want to refer to an alien, then they are in French. It's un extraterrestre.
An extraterrestre?
Yeah, and extraterrestrial, yeah. And if you didn't already realise, the letters T-E-R-R-E in terrestrial is the French word for earth. Terre. La terre.
Okay.
You know? So, you know, extraterrestre means out of the earth from somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know? If you want to talk about a flying saucer, it's actually a great... This is such a good word.
The suite or the ship?
The ship, yeah, the ship. So of course ours is based on like the little cup under a
cup of tea.
Sorry, the little saucer, yeah,
the
under
plate,
a cup.
The wind
and,
plate.
It's the same thing in French. It's called une soucoupe volante.
Une soucoupe.
Soucoupe volante.
Okay.
So again, a soucoupe is a cup, and the sous is like underneath,
like a sous chef.
Exactly, like a sous chef is an under chef. A soucoupe is like an undercup for
an
undercup. For a sort for
a cup.
For a cup. Yeah. My God, why am I getting so confused by this? And and volante means flying.
Okay.
Yeah. So so that's a flying undercup basically.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It
that's a direct translation, isn't it, of saucer?
Yeah, basically.
A
yeah.
Flying saucer.
An undercup. Can I have an
undercup?
Yeah, so so that's that. One thing we didn't talk about is if maybe you are scared of flying saucers and you stay at home, you're a pantouflard.
Yeah.
You never go out. You stay at home all the time. Like there's some people in the world who have this thing called agoraphobia.
Yeah.
You know that one?
Fear of agriculture.
The fear of
farming.
Yeah, the fear of open spaces, which I guess if you have agoraphobia, you probably don't want to go into agriculture.
Yeah.
Because it's quite open, isn't
Depends
it?
Depends on the type of agriculture you're into, though, mate.
Have you ever seen the film Signs?
Yes.
With the extraterrestre.
Yeah.
Man, that is scary. I think the freakiest bit is when you see the that video of the birthday party and the Mexican birthday party.
Yeah, it's good.
Ooh.
Was that Mel Gibson, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Joaquin Phoenix. Joaquin.
No need for that, mate.
Yeah, sorry, mate. So, yeah, in French, it's agoraphobe.
Agoraphobe.
Yeah, and this leads us nicely. Into another kind of phobia, which a lot of people have.
Spiders.
Fear of spiders.
Which is, I think it's a really unjust... I think spiders get a raw deal. Because there's nothing wrong with a spider, really. It's not going to hurt you often, like especially ones in England.
No, yeah. I think it's a genetic thing, isn't it? Because we have evolved to fear spiders and snakes because...
A snake, I understand. Well, I don't know why.
But most snakes that you'll find, like that you can get as pets or whatever, will be mostly harmless as well. I think.
For English people, we live in a place with no harmful spiders.
Yes, but our genes have been sourced from years and years of evolution that date back to people living in Central Asia and Africa.
I should be scared of birds.
Where humans probably came from.
Because birds are dinosaurs.
I found out
dinosaurs are birds. I found out all birds are dinosaurs. The living dinosaurs of today.
Yeah, correct.
I thought it was alligators, but it turns out I'm wrong, it's birds.
Yeah, well, I guess they're kind of the cousins, aren't they?
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, what's going on?
Well,
go on, spiders.
So if you want to talk about spiders, of course, the English word is arachnophobia for that.
Yeah.
And the word at the start, arachna,
yeah,
sounds very much like the French word for spiders, which is araignée.
Araignée.
Which, if you think about it, araignée doesn't sound too far from arachne.
Arachnophobia.
Okay. So that's a little interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to talk about, if you in an old maison hantée,
yeah,
you'll probably find a lot of spiders' webs, cobwebs.
Sure,
won't
for
you?
Sure,
yeah?
For sure.
So actually, first of all, what does cob in cobweb stand for? Do you know that?
It's to do with corn. It's to do with corn on the cob.
Is it?
Because if you
throw corn at it sticks.
No, because if you process corn...
And if it doesn't stick, it's not a real cob.
You can process corn into, like, string.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, like you can make a like a string paste and then it turns into a perfect string.
Oh,
you
right,
have to like pull it like whirl.
Oh yeah, yeah, of course, yeah. On one of those little you know
thing, like Rapunzel. Is it Rapunzel's got one of them? No.
Like taffy machines.
Yeah, one of them.
Oh, right. Well, so there's a really, really cool little bit of info here, a bit of grammar, right?
Yeah.
So, a spider's web in French is une toile d'araignée.
Toile d'araignée. So, something of the spider.
Yeah, d'araignée is of the spider, yeah?
Yeah.
And so the word is toile, okay? Now, if you look at it, it actually looks exactly like the English word toilet, but without the final
yeah.
T, okay? And there's a reason for this. So, toile means kind of a web, but if you think about it through association, it can also mean like a finely knit material,
mm-hmm.
you know. And in kind of antiquity,
okay.
in the olden days, men and women used to wear this like fine kind of very thin material,
yeah.
which today is still called toile.
Yeah,
that's its name. And through association, they used to wear this when they had their hair cut or when they kind of were refining themselves, whatever,
uh-huh.
cleaning themselves up. And yeah, and basically this. The word toilette, which now means the word for toilet,
yeah,
and that came about because it was a small room mm-hmm. where you could kind of pamper yourself and whatever,
yeah.
and then gradually it was, just like we sometimes call the toilet the powder room,
yeah, the powder room.
Or you know the I don't know, the little water closet or something,
little boys' room. People say that
little boys' room,
which I really don't like.
Bit weird,
phrase.
Yeah, a bit weird, isn't it,
for an adult to say,
yeah. Yeah, and so there, yeah, so it's so it, the word for spider's web is
yeah.
related quite nicely to our word toilet. And that's where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really interesting, yeah. So moving on, if we got a spider and we see it, we're probably scared of it like biting down on us, aren't we?
Yeah, never.
Chowing down.
Never.
I don't know. I mean, probably the werewolf would probably like sort it out first.
Are we still with the werewolves?
Well, yeah, they're still in the house.
All right.
So we'll chuck them out at the end of the episode. So after the meal, we'll hand out some toothpicks because I would have thought a werewolf is probably quite a messy guest at a dinner party. I don't know. I feel like you could make some kind of haute cuisine, you know, which means high
yeah.
cooking, you know,
yeah.
haute cuisine, and they could just smash it up, you know, with their
yeah,
fangs.
Depends if they're a werewolf when they're eating or if they're in human.
Oh,
form.
Human. That's true.
Because normally, when you see like vampires and werewolves, when they're in human form, they're normally swanky.
Yeah,
normally
you're right,
really
yeah.
nice people. It seems then they'll go murder you.
What, like Jacob?
Oh, I wasn't thinking. I think of other people. I don't really watch
yeah.
Twilight.
Well, if you want to talk about someone's teeth,
yeah.
which is, I guess, maybe a talking point at a dinner party, if someone comes
yes.
around with a goofy teeth, you know?
Well, no, then you definitely wouldn't. If someone
teeth.
Came around and they had some beautiful white teeth, like, wow, your teeth are nice.
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 All right, darling.
All right. Your teeth
nice.
Look lovely.
Okay, so, you know, if you go to the dentist, they'll look at your teeth, or
yeah.
the orthodontist, you
yeah.
know.
There's a common word in there.
Yeah, there is, isn't there? What is it?
Dent.
Dent. Yeah, and so the word is dent. D-E-N-T-S.
Not dent.
In plural. It's written like the word dent, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're related, I'm not sure. You can probably leave a dent in something if you chew on it.
Yeah.
It's a good little mnemonic. Mm. And so this word, dent, If it's a lion's teeth, let's say there's a lion
yeah.
is the plus one of the werewolf.
Obviously.
Can you get were-lions? Do you know? Yeah. I mean, why is it wolf? Because surely lions are as ferocious.
I don't think it's to
do
with
ferocity.
Do
you think maybe in African horror culture they have were-lions and were-tigers? Because to be honest, if I was to transform into any animal at midnight on a full moon, whatever.
Isn't it more to do with the association between the wolf and the moon?
Well, were-giraffes. So there's a guy walking on the street and he's like, oh God, his clothes rip off, and he just turns into a giraffe. Scampers off in his little carafe.
But it wouldn't be based on the moon if it was a giraffe. It's because of the association between the wolf and the moon.
Well, it could be anything then.
Would it be
the sun?
Yeah,
would it be when the breeze blows west on the African savannah? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm saying.
What do you mean?
Maybe.
When you're facing
you
Mecca?
You need to have another thing. Like maybe when an eclipse. Maybe just when there are only eclipses.
So what? So you wouldn't even know you're a were-giraffe until,
yeah, I don't
until
think
like every
10
years.
Either. It'd be called like a lipper-raff.
What? What the hell?
I don't know.
Yeah, nice giraffe. A lunar-raff.
A lunar-raff.
No, I don't know. No.
Well, a lunar would be moon.
Yeah, you're right, of course.
Lunar would be moon.
Yeah, like Professor Lupin. Yeah.
Yes, we've done
Harry
that
Potter,
yeah.
But we'll talk about that in
We'll talk about that in the future.
Yeah, if it's a lion's teeth, then you call them a dent du lion.
Dent
Dandelion.
Dandelion. Okay, and that sounds. This sounds a lot like an English flower, which is the dandelion,
yeah.
Which looks a bit like an array of lion's teeth, or yellow teeth.
A lion's mane would be a better way of looking at it.
Yeah, it does actually look a bit like... I don't know why they didn't call it that, to be honest.
Right,
look, Deacon.
You're watching too much Ill Manners, fam.
Yeah, blood. A werewolf or a spider is probably going to have fangs instead of... You wouldn't call them teeth. I mean, you know...
Some of them would be teeth.
You don't get like a spider doesn't smile at you with like a full set of gnashes with like incisors and everything, does it?
No, just...
Canines and things. So,
Sorry, I did a Motley impression there.
So, fang in French is the word crochet.
Crochet.
Crochet with a C.
Like
C-R-O-C-H-E-T.
Sounds
crochet.
A bit like that sewing thing you do.
Yeah, it's a bit like crocheting. Because crochet also means a hook in French, okay? So, you can imagine a fang and a hook, they look quite similar.
Yeah.
Crochet sewing is the same word in French, crochet.
Crochet.
But have you ever, when you're a kid, you didn't tie your laces, did you, on your shoe?
I tied laces from the age of 2.
All right, soz, big man.
I had massive, like,
where did
like
you, where were you born? Wall Street.
I had, like, these massive hands as a child that could do anything.
I had a man's hands from a child.
American Psycho.
That's right. I came out of the... Like swimming.
With man's, what, your hair on the back of your knuckles?
Yeah, that's right. Well,
that's a creepy
image.
Have
that now.
A very creepy image. So, when I was a kid, don't know about you, I had little trainers.
You
and
do
little...
know about me, I just told you.
Alright, fine. I know about you, and I'm freaked out by
what
it.
You know about what you're watching now. Carry on.
When I was a kid, I had these little shoes, and like every time you stepped down, like a little light would flash, and were so super cool.
Sorry, I wasn't that fancy, mate.
Super cool. Well, you were in your loafers by then.
That's right.
You know. And they had little Velcro straps over the top.
Yeah.
Now, the crow in the word Velcro actually comes from the same word for fang or for hook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the word Velcro is actually a compound word. It comes from two words, velour, which means fabric.
Yeah.
And crochet, which means a hook. So it's basically...
Fabric hooks.
Yeah, it's fabric hooks or hooked fabric.
Mm-hmm.
So Velcro comes from velour, crochet.
I still... It's a lovely word. And a nice way of putting it together, but it's not accurate to describe Velcro.
Yeah, I mean, half of it's hooked, isn't it?
And
half
the other
of it's
looped. If you don't have the loop bit, you've just got like spiky fabric.
So it should probably be called like Velcro loop or something. But it's not. It doesn't quite roll off the tongue, does it? Like
what does Velcro mean in English?
Like cellador.
Yeah.
Cellador.
Well, if Velcro, obviously Velcro comes from the French.
Red room.
But I think just should be called just hook and loop.
Hook and loop.
Yeah.
Hook a duck.
Hook and loop. That could be our new...
Hook and loop.
That's our new hip-hop name. Do you want to be Hook or Loop?
That sounds a bit like Rhett and Link.
It does.
Just, doesn't it? It sounds like... we sound like a YouTube like parody
sensation.
Duo.
Sensation.
Yeah.
Do you want to be Hook or Loop?
Loop.
They're
loop.
Both quite musical as well, like the hook and the loop.
Yeah, you're right, actually, yeah. Oh, I'll be Loop, because Hook sounds a bit like... I don't know. It rhymes with a word that people could call you.
Book, man?
No, truck.
Oh, truck. Okay.
Yeah, truck. I don't want to be someone calling me a trucker. You know,
that's a bit mean for truck drivers.
I know. Yeah. So
we might have a lot of truck driver listeners trying to learn French as they drive around.
Yeah. No. It's no offense to them. It's just it's not my profession. I don't want to be falsely labelled.
Okay. Fair enough, mate.
So we've got Velcro. The French actually have obviously they're quite big with their fashion. You know, if you go to Paris and you see all the kind of fashionistas strolling up and down the sidewalk, or the pavement,
mm-hmm.
which in French is le trottoir.
Le trottoir.
Imagine you're trotting along the pavement. So it's a trottoir. Trottoir.
The trotting way.
Yeah, and so if you go into Paris, the French actually named the item of clothing the bikini.
Yeah.
So you know, yeah.
It what was, about the tankini?
I don't know. No, that was. I think that was a derivative of bikini.
Okay.
But it was named. It was named because there's an island. Called Bikini, a small island.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly where. I think maybe in the South Pacific or something.
Somewhere warm.
Yeah, and it was basically a place where they did a big missile testing on the same weekend that there was this big fashion fair in Paris.
Yeah,
and they named it after that kind of arbitrarily because it was a big in the news.
Yeah.
And so actually, Bikini is actually an island.
Oh.
Yeah, which I guess it's kind of like two islands, isn't it? Really,
three probably.
Is it?
I don't know.
No, it's not. Oh, Bikini Bottoms as well, yeah.
Yeah, so you need both for it to be a bikini.
Yeah. And the last thing on the topic of materials is that we also have another word, which is a material, which is like a compound word, isn't it? Do you know which one?
No idea. You tell me, mate.
All right, it's nylon.
Nylon.
So if anyone doesn't know, the NY comes from New York and the lon comes from London. So that's where we get nylon from.
It's an interesting one. I think I've heard that before, and I've also heard that it's not true from some people, and heard that it is true from others. It's one of them ones that lots of people dispute.
I don't know. To me,
I like it. I'd like it to be true.
Yeah, it sounds pretty silky to me.
Yeah. So we're back on to one of our favourite topics.
Movies. Yeah, so...
It's like we're obsessed.
We are kind of obsessed. A bit like Emily Rose in The Exorcist.
Boy.
Yeah, yeah. But one of my favourite horror films, or at least one that scared me a lot, was Saw. Have you ever seen that?
No, I don't watch horror films generally, so it's not going to be a great section.
Okay, right.
The ones I do like are Paranormal Activity.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I like them ones.
Activité Paranormale.
Activité de Paranormal?
I don't know.
I'm going to be the French expert on that one.
Well, a little offshoot from Saw is, if you want to say an actual Saw in French, is the word si. S-C-I-E.
Si.
It's pronounced si. Which is strange, because you actually have the thing seesaw. Called a seesaw, don't you? But I don't think that actually comes from it. I think seesaw is just a kind of an onomatopoeic word for how it rocks. Yeah, maybe. But funnily, in French, an actual seesaw, like the playground ride, is called a tape-cou.
A tape-cou?
Now the second word we've seen so many times on this podcast means ass, C-U-L. And tap just means like to tap something, So it's basically like a bum tapper.
A butt tapper,
you know. Butt tapper!
You know, in America they call it a teeter-totter.
Yeah. Again, it kind of... It's kind of onomatopoeic. It's kind of... It
Why
sounds
get a real
like
name
a word
for it. Like, I can't think of a good name for it. An uppy-downy middle...
So we've got loopy-hooky. Oh, we've got loop and hook.
Hook and loop.
Hook and loop, and then up and down.
Yeah.
I think a lot... Well, what about the swing then? Slide is very well described, isn't it?
It's not really the name of the thing. It's what you do on it.
Yeah. I mean, surely all of them should just be called a fun.
No, because then...
Some of them aren't that
fun. Do you want to go on the fun? And you look around, there's so much fun to be had.
Yeah.
And I can't pick the fun.
Like when me and my brother were in Disneyland. So that's a tape-cou. A swing is a balançoire.
A balançoire?
Yeah, and balancer means to swing something, so that is very accurate in French. And a roundabout is a manège.
A manège?
Manège, yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know, it just means a roundabout. But it sounds a bit like the French word ménage.
Yeah, it does.
You change the A and the E, then that becomes like housework.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think one of the best modern films and one of the biggest cultural sensations of our generation is probably...
Super Troopers.
No, Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. Hate Super Troopers.
Harry Potter. Which includes lots of werewolves, ghouls, ghosts, and you name
everything.
It. Yeah, so we've got some little...
Phoenix,
yeah. Yeah. The Phoenix Knights Club.
Yeah.
So we've got a bit of vocab, which we'll quickly whiz through. Right, no pun intended. So the word for wizard in French is sorcière.
Sorcière.
Yeah,
sorcerer.
Just like a sorcerer, but not someone who makes HP sauce.
Oui.
Yeah, fruity or any other derivative.
Guinnessy.
And a witch is just sorcière, with same word but with an E on the end.
Okay.
So sorcière, sorcière.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about Hogwarts, now a lot of words from the English version change in translation. Yeah, some of them were made up.
Uh-huh.
Now, Hogwarts in French is Poudlard.
Poudlard?
Yeah. Which, I'm not sure of the exact translation, but it's kind of...
Does it end in ARD?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Is it a derogatory term?
I think in this case, I'm not sure, but I think it's probably something to do with lard, which means a bit like fat or like
lard.
Bacon.
Like lard.
So
like
I think,
a lard on.
Yeah, probably something like that, yeah. But probably the best, probably one of the best translations ever in literary works is the translation of the word, the sorting hat.
Yeah.
You know, which is the hat that sorts them between
into houses.
Gryffindor and all the houses, yes?
Slytherin.
And
Hufflepuff and...
Ravenclaw. God, no one cares about the middle two, though, do they?
Yeah, but you need them.
Yeah, of course, yeah. They're filler, aren't they?
Yeah, they're
stocking fillers.
Yeah.
you know. But the sorting hat in French is probably the best word ever. It's le chapeau.
Le chapeau.
Now, the word for hat normally is chapeau.
Chapeau.
In French, mm-hmm. And the word for choice is choix.
Okay.
Okay, so it's a really clever translation. It's le chapeau.
Le chapeau. Yeah. The choosing hat.
The choosing hat, exactly. It's such a good... I mean, whoever did that should probably
get a bonus. It's actually more accurate than the sorting hat.
No, it's much more accurate, yeah. That's. I mean, sometimes the translations are better in the new language, yeah. The receiving language. A couple of other things that you might see in Harry Potter is a spell.
Yeah.
Is un sort.
Can we just point out that we know these are books? We're not ignorant to the fact that they are books before movies.
Yeah, I know, of course.
We don't want to look like
but a
idiots.
Lot of people. A lot of people of the younger generation probably know them.
Maybe sooner
as movies than books.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. So it's spelt as the word sort, just like the sorting hat.
Yeah.
But it actually means a spell and so. And a couple of other things like. A flying broomstick, which Harry goes on his Nimbus 2000, is a balai volant.
And volant is the flying...
Volant, just like the soucoupe volant.
Yeah.
Okay, so balai volant. A toad is a crapaud.
Crapaud.
Yeah, with an A-U-D at the end, like Laura Renaud.
Yeah.
For
people who don't know Laura, that's she's referenced too often in this podcast.
Yeah, yeah, she is quite a lot, but she's our only, like, common French friend, isn't she? I don't mean common, like...
I do.
Oh, yeah, so common.
She is.
Yeah, she's a bit... And a magic wand is the last one we'll cover. Yeah. Is a baguette magique. Really? So it's a magic baguette. So yeah. It's not like you go into the bakery and Harry Potter's like, "Can I have two croissants? You know, soucoupe volant, and I'll have one of those magic baguettes as well." No, it's baguette is actually a word in French. It just means like a stick or like something long, and it appears quite a lot.
Yeah, we call it French stick, don't we, in England sometimes?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So
Harry Potter tick.
Harry Potter, done. Yeah. Graduated. Got my owls. Let's move on.
Yeah, owl, mate. You know too much.
Yeah. But you know, of course, owl in French is chouette.
Chouette.
Yeah. And we've covered this before, I think.
We have.
And it also means, like, lovely. Something lovely.
Yeah.
So you can say, oh, owl. Oh, that was owl.
So owl. We could do some more, like, we could make slang up for England.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so owl.
That's so owl blood. That is so owl. Man. Yeah. So, I don't know, like, when I was watching Paranormal Activity, I enjoyed it in some ways. I thought some of the concepts were good, but I was just absolutely scared out of my wits the entire time. Like, I was on tenterhooks.
Yeah, but that's what...
I was on crochets.
Wow. I enjoyed it, but yeah, trying to sleep that evening.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to get ripped out of my bed. I thought... Ugh.
Well, when I watched it, I was just really jumpy afterwards.
Yeah.
Which, so if you want to say that in French, it's nerveux.
Like nervous,
yeah, on edge, yeah, like really freaked out. Okay, so should we go through a couple of ways to say how you can be scared?
Just bang them out, mate.
Oh, bang them out, right, okay. So to be scared, in simple terms, you can say avoir peur.
Avoir peur.
Yeah, so avoir is the verb, so you can conjugate that. J'ai peur. Is I'm scared. J'ai peur.
Next.
Okay, so a few more familiar ones, like slangy ones, you can say... Avoir la pétoche.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you can say j'ai la pétoche. Again, it's like I'm scared to death.
Okay.
You can say je suis mort de peur. I'm dead of scared, so I'm scared to death. Or you can say je suis mort de truie.
Truie.
Now, truie is another word for peur, basically.
Okay.
So it's like it's kind of a slangy word for saying fear. Again, with the ARD words, you know, the derogatory words, you can call someone a pétochard.
Mm-hmm.
Which means someone who's like a scaredy cat, you know,
like a
coward.
Yeah.
You can even say a couard, which is another one of these ARD verbs, ARD words, sorry, that we saw before. And it comes from the coup, which is kind of a misspelling of an old French word meaning tail.
Okay.
Okay. And it kind of implies someone who has their tail between their legs.
Oh.
So that's where we actually get our word coward from.
Yeah.
It means like you've got a tail between your legs.
Couard.
Yeah, so you get all this fear, and often you might shiver, feeling freaked out, and to say that you would say frissonner. Yeah, je frissonne. Is I shiver, you know.
Mm.
Which in English we can use the word frisson, which kind of means a sudden shudder of excitement or a thrill or something.
Frisson.
Yeah. You know,
it's nice.
Like a sexual frisson, whatever. Yeah.
Ooh.
Now. Probably, yeah, probably the last thing you could do is like try and scare someone else.
Yeah.
Okay. And so to scare the crap out of somebody is, okay, here we go, is foutre la trouille à quelqu'un. So,
no.
So quelqu'un is someone.
Yep.
And foutre la trouille means, yeah, to scare the crap out of someone, basically. Nice. So, yeah, so the expression you could say, you could say, tu m'as foutu la trouille. You've scared the crap out of me. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to try and say that?
Come on, one more time.
Tu m'as foutu la trouille.
Tu m'as foutu la trouille.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, really good pronunciation.
Cheers, mate. That's been a lot of information. I think we should end on that story you said you were going
to
tell.
Yeah, just to kind of chill the mood.
A lot of good information. I'm not saying this.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Go on, let's hear it.
It's not filler.
No, it's all thriller.
Oh.
No filler.
Oh.
Right.
We high five so much on this podcast.
I think it's every
so okay. So my it's not really a story. It's more like a little bit that I heard. Right. So I was recently in York in England, and I was meeting an old friend that I hadn't seen for a while. And she works in one of the oldest pubs in I think in York, but probably in England as well. Yeah. And it's meant to be supposedly it's one of the most haunted places in England. Yeah.
Supposedly.
And she was telling me that apparently. There's been lots of independent claims or independent kind of
studies,
complaints in a way that apparently in the female toilets in this pub, yeah, just bear with me, bear with me, please. in the toilette,
yeah,
you know, that apparently that there's been accounts that women have been sat on the loo,
yeah,
doing their business, and on several occasions, different independently women have felt a kind of brushing. On their leg,
yeah.
On their kind of thigh,
uh-huh.
As they're sitting there. So yeah, basically the story is that there's this like haunted toilets that if you go in, you kind of get like sexually harassed by a ghost.
Yeah, but people still go.
Apparently, it's probably attracting some like you know.
You know, it'd be interesting if they changed the male toilets for the female toilets and see if the men also got like
the frisson.
Yeah, like, the frisson. Yeah,
from the fantoms.
So, yeah.
I don't know, maybe it'd be quite nice to just stand there and just you know, the ghost could hold it up for you. And...
What? The ghost would, yeah, the ghost would hold it up so you could urinate without using your hands? Like,
yeah.
If you wanted to keep drinking?
Yeah.
Well, maybe the ghost is really
ghost,
helpful.
Ghost prop.
Maybe he's just trying to like, coach people like, you can do it. Go on.
What?
Like,
Tom's rubbing his leg while he's saying that, by the way, yeah.
Go on.
And when I realised what I was doing, I was a bit creeped out. Yeah. Tu m'as foutu la trouille. Okay, so thanks for listening, guys, this week. If you want to get in touch in the meantime, then please email us in at the usual email address,
pardon my French,
podcast@gmail.com.
Or on the Facey Bees at facebook.com/pardonmyfrenchpodcast.
Yeah, you'll be able to find it. So
just search it up.
Yeah, right. So make sure you're telling your friends. We'll try and get the word out. And join us next week for a slightly less scary episode. Of French fun.
Yeah, so see you later. Thanks for listening.
And à la prochaine.